Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 16th of August. I'm your host, Paul White. Glad you're with me today. It's exciting to have you on the journey as we have been working through 1 Corinthians 6. However, it is Friday, and I try to do long-form Friday when I have something long-form to give you. I'm going to do a long-form Friday today that is technically not even that long. This is just a few minutes long, but I wanted to differentiate between Fridays and other days, because on Fridays we do try to do some things that are longer, question and answers, interviews, even sermons from different venues. But so this one's not very long. This is from a question and answer session that I held after a meeting in Chapin, South Carolina. The sermon that accompanies this Q&A, and really accompanies might not be right, but the sermon we preached right in front of this Q&A was titled Determine What Is Valuable. And Determine What Is Valuable aired last Sunday on all of our platforms. And hopefully you've got to see that. If not, check it out. About an hour long, walking through faith as an adventure and how Jesus sets value upon Israel through the book of Matthew, and how what does that mean to you and I. This weekend, I like to try to keep you abreast of what's coming up. This weekend, we will be airing our message from Victorville, California, titled Jesus, Expression or Example? And we dig into some good, deep stuff on who Jesus is and how the Apostle Paul presented him. And so don't miss this Sunday as we air Jesus, Expression or Example, Victorville, California. Also, coming up this Sunday, we will be having our monthly meeting at the Sterling on the Lake Clubhouse Theater in Flowery Branch, Georgia. We try to meet once a month with our regular weekly crew. We meet every Tuesday night, study the book of John, but on our monthly meetings, we tackle something else. We preach a sermon that something that's been on our heart, and we have some tremendous times with our Georgia group. We hope you can come out at some time this weekend, 5 o'clock Eastern time, and the details are on our website and also on our Facebook page. Okay, let's jump into it. This question, I'll just kind of let it run. The question starts out with, it was the first one asked, what is the hindrance to the message of grace? What is keeping people from embracing this? Believe it or not, of all the questions I get asked on my travels, this one pops up as much as any, more than any single scripture that I get asked about. It's what's keeping people from getting it. And I think people are asking it because they've got this powerful revelation and they can't get their friends to see it and they can't get their family to see it. And they want to know, I think a lot of people want to know, is there some sort of trick? Is there something I'm missing? Is there a verse I should be quoting? What would get people to get it? And the reality is it took you a while, it took me a while, so it's probably going to take other people a while. But I jump into, and when I answer these questions, I answer them with what comes to me immediately. And so that's why I found this answer interesting. I hope you enjoy. And once it's finished, we'll be done with this podcast, and we'll come back tomorrow, jumping back into 1 Corinthians 6. God bless. Well, I think why do I think so many churches don't teach true biblical grace? Let me say this, first of all. I'm a big fan of the church. I'm very careful how I talk about her. You should always be careful when you talk about another man's wife, and the church is the bride of Christ. So I treat her with kid gloves. I treat her very delicately. I believe you ought to be very careful about her. So I have absolutely I have nothing negative to say about the body of Christ. I am frequently disturbed by what gets pitched as Christianity and what gets pitched as the body of Christ, which is oftentimes so full of the leaven of performance, where people are introduced to salvation by faith in Jesus. They get the grace of God. Hey, now you're saved. And now here comes a list of stuff that you need to do if you, A, want to stay saved. That just depends on what denomination you're in. Some of them have kind of got that one licked. But then they move right on to B, if you want God to favor you. C, if you want your kids to not get their legs broken and you go bankrupt. And maybe you want somebody to get a scholarship. Or all kinds of performance. Like, how much do you want from God? And that leavens the whole lump. And then what happens is people get exhausted and burned out. And so I think that's what's being asked is, why are we still struggling with that 2,000 years later? Why can't we find unity on that? My answer to that is probably too thick to try to do in a Q&A, but I'll shorten it and say this. I think that for the most part, we haven't had a revelation of the Holy Spirit in the church. I think that the Holy Spirit has been relegated to an influence and to an inferior member of the Godhead. I think that for most Christians, God's big, Jesus is the mediator, God's the tough guy, Jesus is the nice guy, and the Holy Spirit runs around doing whatever the tough guy tells him to do. And so the Holy Spirit then chases you to tell you that you're in sin. He slaps you with a ruler when you do wrong. And then I come up in Pentecostal churches, and we thought we had a real corner on the market on the Holy Spirit. We didn't call him the Holy Spirit, we called him the Holy Ghost. And he always give you gifts and have you speaking in tongues and shouting and prophesying and all kinds of things. And I'm not mocking a bit of it, because I saw some real things in the middle of a lot of not real things that I know some things the Holy Spirit does and can do and will never say he can't. I mean, if Paul's... I'm going to stay off that, but I'm staying off it because it's too divergent. But the Holy Spirit, I think, is the reason why, is because we, in many circles, haven't taught the Holy Spirit at all, because we thought he was co-opted by the Pentecostals. So if you talk about the Holy Ghost, then that's something that you don't belong in this church. And I think what the problem with that, guys, is this. The New Testament is not a message about justification. Paul's message is not a message about your righteousness. Paul's message is not a message about your identity, not at its core. Every one of Paul's letters is dripping with the Holy Spirit. Paul's message is, you are led by the Spirit, now go do something with it. And it's the most least taught thing that we have of Paul's teachings, because we're scared to talk about the Holy Spirit. And part of that is because we've made him an enemy. The Holy Spirit's job is not to convict you of your sin. Jesus said he convicts unbelievers of the sin of unbelief. But for believers, he said, he shall convict you of righteousness, because I go away and you don't see me anymore. Why do you need convicted of your righteousness? Because Jesus isn't where you can see him, and you forget who you are. So you need the Holy Spirit to remind you you're righteous. So I think the reason why we're not seeing grace permeate the church is we're not teaching the Holy Spirit. And therefore, people, if you can't rely on the Comforter, I'll say what my friend John Sheesby says. You're either going to have the paraclete or you're going to have the pedagogue. The pedagogue is Paul's Greek word for schoolmaster. The law was our taskmaster to lead us to Christ, pedagogue. That's a guy who lives in your house and teaches your kids for you. We call them tutors, nannies, mentors, teachers. Paul said that's what the law had become to Israel. Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to send you a paraclete, a comforter. The paraclete shall walk beside you. Paul said, a man is transformed into the image of God because the Holy Spirit takes him from glory to glory. So if we don't teach the Holy Spirit, what we're left with is you. Yeah. Amen. And if you're left with you, you're in big trouble. Yeah. You couldn't save you, how are you going to keep you saved? Yeah. You couldn't save you, how are you going to get blessed? You couldn't save you, how are you going to get yourself anointed? And so I think the reason why this is, why it's not universal, is because there's not an understanding that this is the Holy Spirit's role, is to reinforce. Hebrews says that the Holy Spirit will witness to you of what he saw in Jesus, which means that the Holy Spirit ought to be telling you what he saw at the cross, not what he saw you do last night. The Holy Spirit's role is to tell you what Jesus did for you. You know what you did last night. You don't need the Holy Ghost to remind you. What you don't know is who you are in Christ without the Holy Spirit reminding you. And that will lead you to the proper discipline, because proper discipline will be the Holy Spirit saying, if you go down that road, here's some bad things that might happen in your life. Is this what you want? And so there's natural consequences and chaos that comes. But the Holy Spirit's got to be taught. The Holy Spirit's not taught. Even in the Grace Church, Grace communities I'm going in, they don't teach the Holy Spirit. And so what's happening is the greatest fears of people about grace. Because what did people say about grace? You tell people that they're right, they're going to sin like crazy. So what happens is you release people under the ocean of freedom. What I call set people free on the ocean of grace, but don't give them a rudder. So what happens to a boat in the middle of the greatest ocean and you're free, but you don't have a steerage system? You're in trouble. You have to release people into the grace of God, equipped with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit lives inside of them. I'll add one more thing. I told you I was going to give you the short version. This will be the last one, and I won't take another question. We'll just stop. So I'll say this. If you have a question, I'll answer it aside alone. But I think another reason why is, and this needs to be the last thing I say. I think another reason why the message of grace is having a hard time penetrating is because the church has such a futurist get out of here eschatology we got to get out of here, got to get out of here. The world needs to go to hell in a handbasket. The world needs problems. We get excited when we watch the news and bad things happen in the Middle East because our theology is bad things are supposed to happen so we can go home. And if that prevails in the church, then we will not be agents of the kingdom to spread good because good doesn't need to be spread. Good needs to lose so that Jesus can come and get us. And I think the moment that you let go of that and begin to embrace that you have a role on the earth, you need help. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And I think that's the hope for the message of grace, is to release people from that idea that they can get out. Okay,
well,
that's...
I find the Holy Spirit to be user-friendly.
Yeah. Amen. It's a good way to say it. User-friendly. Yes.